Australian aged care is a benchmark for the civilised world. Where else can men and women retire gracefully from their chosen profession, receive a pension worth five times the salary of, say, trained nurses, and enjoy a wealth of health benefits, unlimited free travel, and lots of free first night tickets, and gather these fruits of a busy life as young as 40? Of course, they will have to be politicians elected before 2004 to do it, and they have to slog on to become prime minister before they also get the free office, the chauffeur, the office staff, the free stationery, and the free set of steak knives to help them with their memoirs. But there's no gain without pain, even if the pain isn't theirs. Civilians have it a little less easy. But compare modern aged care with some of the systems of the past. Only a few thousand years ago, when everyone was a nomad from Portugal to Peking to Peru, if you got a bit creaky, if your hip went, if you couldn't chuck a spear as far as you used to, even if you just started complaining that mammoths were bigger and fatter back in the old days, that was it. The tribe would wrap you up in the second best mammoth skin, hand you a packet of sandwiches, grunt, and move on somewhere warmer before the winter closed in. And there were no optical benefits or hearing aids. If you couldn't see a mammoth approaching or hear it bellowing, tough luck, mammoth toe jam. And don't even mention dentistry. Later on, when communities got to know one another better, they'd still feed you. But you got all the lousy jobs like mending the fishnets or pre-masticating the betel nuts when you'd rather be sitting in the sun and grizzling about how young people today were colouring themselves the wrong shade of blue. And you'd spend the last years of your life with the whole village staring at you, wondering when they'd get use of the mat. Many communities were constructed around the extended family, where great-grandma and great-grandpa and grandma and grandpa and all the aunts and uncles earned the right to sit around the fire all day, while the women complained about how young women today were getting harder and the men complained about how the young men were getting softer. Sure, they'd have to pickle the odd cucumber and collect kindling and babysit, but it was a happy arrangement, and when they passed on, the family would give them a good send-off and make speeches where they lied about what fine people the old folks were, in the hope that their own kids were listening. This also led to the invention of the sitcom. And throughout the ages, cunning elderly folk often managed to persuade their tribe or community that the elderly knew a thing or two, that they should be revered for their wisdom and experience, that they should be made chiefs and elder statesmen and senators and councillors and ferocious organisers of the local hospital auxiliary. This worked very well. You could get a statue out of it if you played your whist cards right. Not anymore. Most people acquire extended families only through divorce and remarriage. As far as many busy families are concerned, it's back to the cave and the second best rug and the sandwiches, while the rest of the family moves on in search of the fabled land of lifestyle.